Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue now to speak with winners of the New York City primary, and back with us now is the Queensborough president who won a squeaker to get the nomination to keep his job, Donovan Richards. You may remember he was on the show back in December after his win of the special election to replace Melinda Katz, who had become the Queens district attorney. Prior to that, Donovan Richards was a city council member representing Southeast Queens, the Rockaways, Laurelton, around there, and he was chairman of the Public Safety Committee. Obviously, that topic is so in the news. So let's talk to the president of Queens. Borough President, welcome back to WNYC, and congratulations on your renomination.
Thank you, sir. Always great to be on, Brian.
And listeners from Queens, we'll open the phones right up to you. Do you want to ask something of the incumbent Queensborough president running for a full term? The phones are open for you, 646-435-7280, on COVID, on rent, on public safety, anything, 646-435-7280, or tweet a question from Queens at Brian Lehrer. So, Mr. President, let me start with public safety. Since you were chair of the Public Safety Committee, we know what's going on with crime. We know what's going on with the tension between the need to reduce the number of shootings and the need to do police reform. Were you a backer of Eric Adams in the primary? I don't even know that. And how do you think the two of you would work together on this issue?
Yes, I did endorse Eric Adams. And let me start with the premise stating the fact that Eric Adams comes from my neighborhood. You know, he's someone who's endured police brutality, but also understands the balance of ensuring that you work with the department as well. And it's my story. His story is my story. You know, my first experience at 13 coming into the world as a teenager was being stopped and frisked with guns drawn on me. By God's grace, my cousin and I lived to tell the story. But I also recognize that we have to work with the local department, and it's about ensuring that we truly do build out a real community police relations strategy that works. And this is one of the reasons I secured the 116th precinct in Southeast Queens, which is going to be one of the newest precincts in the city. But the difference of this, what this model will look like, is you're going to have a food pantry in it. You're going to have community center space, a street plaza. So as we talk about building a true relationship between the community and the department, I believe that this is going to be the model that the city should replicate.
We had former Police Commissioner Bratton on the show this week, and he was of the opinion that despite Adams' defense of the legal use of stop and frisk during the campaign, that he doesn't think that means, and he's advising Adams, that he doesn't think that means that there are going to be more stops than there are currently in the de Blasio administration. Would that be your opinion?
Well, stop and frisk is never going away. And quite frankly, even when you look at the numbers now, overwhelmingly, where those stop and frisk still happening? They're happening in majority black and brown communities across the city. So is this something we'll be watching? But, you know, I've had these conversations with Eric just about 2 weeks ago over dinner where we talked about the importance of balancing public safety and reforms. And I think he's going to be somebody who can strike the right needle.
Do you think the crime problem in the city is being exaggerated for political purposes by some people or in the media for sensationalism?
Well, you look at the numbers, and numbers will give you all the facts you need to know. But I do want to start with the premise that nobody cares about stats when somebody gets shot with a gat in your community, right? I mean, it's the facts are that if there's a shooting on your block and you normally don't see shootings on your block, it's going to feel different to you. I mean, I had three guys shot around the corner from my house a few months ago. Unfortunately, one of them died. So those closest to this problem are going to feel it more than others. But I will say we're still nowhere near we were in the 90s, and that's something that we can still continue to celebrate. But there's still a lot more work that needs to be done. And that means even within the department, when you look at clearance rates, for instance, right, on major crimes, these shootings, the numbers are still relatively low. So we always will say our communities don't want to be held hostage by bad cops and robbers. And the bottom line is you got to arrest those perpetrating violent crimes, but you also have to hold officers accountable who are not practicing what we all know they should. And that's something called CPR, courtesy, professionalism, and respect. So there has to be that balance. And once again, communities want the perpetrators of these shootings to be held accountable. I think back going to Justin Wallace's funeral just a few weeks ago, you know, this young man who didn't even turn 11 years old, who lost his life to senseless gun violence. So our communities don't want to see that happening, but we also want to make sure we have a department that's responsive to our communities as well.
And it's interesting to see city council members who are focused on public safety taking more powerful positions around the city. You were public safety chair in city council, and you're Queensborough president now renominated for a full term. And Vanessa Gibson was also for a while public safety chair in city council, and she's now the nominee for Bronxborough president. So that's a pretty interesting turn.
Oh, that is. I guess now we got to watch Adrian Adams.
Right. By the way, you know, you are already the borough president of Queens. Some people know you, and you've been on the show before, of course. But as you're now nominated for a full term, you know, for some of the winners of the primary, we've been having them on and letting them do a little bit more biographical background, especially those who are the presumed winners in the fall election, since this is such a Democratic city, is not really going to be much Republican competition, presumably, for a position like yours. So for those unfamiliar, and by the way, we did it with Eric Adams after he won, like he and I talked about how we went to the same Queens High School, but we had different experiences there in certain respects. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about how you are, who you are, and what led you into politics from your childhood in Southeast Queens?
It was an unfortunate incident. And, you know, people talk about violence and senseless violence. And I was this 18-year-old kid from Southeast Queens trying to figure it out. First to graduate high school in my family, first to go on to college. My father just became a citizen 2 years ago. The first election he was able to vote in was my election for borough president.
Wow.
But I was 17 years old.
How did that feel? Let me jump in. How did that feel?
Oh, man, his name is Donovan Sr. too. He describes it as an out-of-body experience. And my parents were teenagers, you know, so we come from neighborhoods where, you know, people will say, well, where did you grow up? I grew up in like 20 different places in Southeast Queens because, you know, being born to teenage parents, you know, they were just trying to make it and hold on. And, you know, they sacrificed a great deal for me. But it was at 18 years old when my childhood friend Darnell Patterson was shot and killed in Southeast Queens. That changed my life, looking at him in the casket. I went to a meeting on gun violence. I had never, Brian, been engaged or gone to meetings on gun violence, but something led me to this meeting after his death. I met my local city council member, James Sanders, at the time, decided to volunteer with him like twice in the summer. And I was like, these politicians don't get it. And then he offered me a position at the city council in November 2003. I started the equivalent of a man with a broom and a dustpan, started as an intern, worked my way up to chief of staff, and then ran for the city council in 2013. And the crazy part about this story, Brian, is I was sworn in literally on the anniversary of my childhood friend's death. And very similar, very close election. It was a special election because Sanders went on to become a state senator. We had to do like a recount. And I was sworn in on the floor of City Hall on the anniversary of his death. So when people talk about violence and senseless violence, it's beyond rhetoric for me. This is personal.
Annette in Laurelton, your old city council district. Annette, you're on WNYC with Queensborough president and now nominee, Donovan Richards. Hi, Annette.
Good morning to you both. And I think Donovan, he knows me because I've always been very active in my block, in my community. Well, I'm very, very upset because I've been in Laurelton since 1974. The traffic that's going southwest on from 130th, I'm speaking about that, to Merrick Boulevard, because he, you know, you're aware of the grass mediums in the middle. The car saints, when they pass my house, it seems like they're on my sidewalk. And we already, about 2 months ago, had a terrible accident on Francis Lewis and 131st, where one of the neighbors, a car, winded up on her front lawn. Now, I've called all my elected officials. I don't intend to stop because this issue must be addressed because it's night and day.
So Francis Lewis and 131st Avenue, you said?
That's where the accident occurred, yes. So I live on Francis Lewis between 130th and 131st, and that's where the grassy medium starts from 130th and ends at Merrick Boulevard.
So, Annette, what's the policy question here?
The policy is that we had requested a letter to the Department of Transportation that they put some sort of speed device, and I received a letter back saying that we don't live in an area where it's a school, close to a school.
Well, they did. Okay, got it. So they did just install a camera right off of Francis Lewis, but it's on the 121st Avenue side. So I know the area very well. And you're not close enough in proximity to a school. That's why they won't put a speed camera. But what we can do is request for speed humps or speed bumps, you know, one of the two.
Is that a constituent that you're going to
promise because DOT has to do a study, and that study normally takes about 7 months to a year. And I could have Brittany, if you can just, I don't know how this works, Brian, if you want to give us an email or give us your information
online. Yeah, we can do that.
Have my office follow up and request that.
Yeah, Annette, hang on if you want,
speed camera.
And we'll take your contact information off the air and make that connection. Annette, hang on, and we'll do that. With respect to speed cameras, what's the policy there? Were you just indicating that they can only be installed near schools?
Yeah, they have to be in close proximity. I don't want to give you the feet because I don't want to misquote. But they do have to be within a certain proximity of a school, and that's based on state law. So when we expanded the camera program, that was part of the deal. So you're not going to see speed cameras like in between your residential block. You know, the rule of thumb is they have to be within close proximity of a school.
Stephanie in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC with Queensborough president and now Democratic nominee to be elected to a full term of that, Donovan Richards. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning. I'm a parent, my son is graduate, I live in Forest Hills. Just before the pandemic, there was a big plan that DOE had was to bus kids from the southern part of 28 to the northern part, okay? There was ruckus from the black parents and from the white parents and from the Asian parents about why are they busing the kids all around. I understand they want racial balance, but none of the parents were happy about being bused. I felt some of the black parents that improved the schools. The other parents thought, why are my kids being bused around? Is there anything to be done about it? I know the borough president also has certain limits, but what's being done about that?
Well, that plan has not moved forward as far as I know. You know, the bottom line is every child deserves access to good education and quality school. That's one of the reasons I put close to, you know, $10 or $15 million into our local school system, including schools in Forest Hills all the way down to Southeast Queens. But the bottom line is you shouldn't have to be bused out of your neighborhood to have access to a quality school. And, yes, I do believe that school integration is certainly something that should happen, but at the end of the day, you should not have to leave your neighborhood to gain access to a quality school. So that's to be continued. As far as I know, I have not heard of any plans to fully move forward with this as of yet, and we're monitoring it closely.
Yeah, because before the pandemic, just before the pandemic, they had meetings in both parts, in all parts of the district. But after the pandemic, everything sort of stopped. So yep. I'm just curious. I'm a black parent who lived in Forest Hills, and I moved to Forest Hills because the schools were good. Simple.
What do you want to see happen, then, Stephanie? What do you want to see happen?
What I would want to see is I would want to see one limited integration. I grew up on the Lower East Side, so I sort of grew up doing that. But also I think that some of the schools in the other areas should be improved. I think, it's because basically if you watch 28, which you told us at Regal Park
school
and Henson, Jamaica.
28
is a crazy district, trust me. As the closer you move to Southeast Queens, the less favorable results the students are getting. There's something wrong with that.
Well, let me add on to that.
Have to move to Forest Hills?
Well, let me say this. This is a question of access. Also, you have to remember, a lot of these schools have been historically underfunded, and this is systemic, right? This is systemic racism. That's the only way to put it. But I believe, the state has done a great job this year in sending some money down back to the city. We're going to see a lot of our schools 100% fully funded this year, unlike what we've seen in the past. But the bottom line is every child should have access to the same thing. And, there's this notion that parents in Southeast Queens don't work hard or work with their children, and it's so far from the truth. The problem is that a lot of these schools have been historically underfunded and under-resourced, and that's the way you get schools to be good, right? They need to be fully funded. You need to ensure that there's an active community participation in these schools, in which you do see a lot of that with the PTAs as well. But the bottom line is every school district should receive its fair share of equity and funding.
Stephanie, thank you for your call. Board President, how much of a rent crisis in Queens do you have right now, or do you think is around the corner with the expiring of some of the rent moratoriums?
This is something that keeps me up at night. I will be honest with you. We know that the storm is coming. And one, we've already had an affordability crisis, and we're working hard we'll be breaking ground on some supportive housing in a few weeks. We just broke ground on the first phase of Willits Point. But we are going to be in a crisis. One of the things I want to see the mayor do is expand the right to counsel into the borough so that, more people have access to resources. We also are very happy, that the governor has finally looked at revamping this whole program they had, which would help tenants get back rent pay. But this is going to be a crisis of big magnitude, and we have to ensure that the resources are reaching the tenants who desperately need it. We have to make sure jobs are accessible here. I've been working hard to keep JetBlue here. I was on with the CEO just a little while ago speaking about the possibilities of more job opportunities coming. But this crisis that we found ourselves in has been exacerbated by, as what I spoke of earlier, many of the inequities that have been in these communities going back decades. And if we don't see the federal government and the state and the city truly coming together, you talk about a homeless crisis that we face already, you're going to see that number double or quadruple over the course of the next decade if we don't get ahead of this.
And one of the powers that a borough president does have, among the limited powers, has to do with real estate and development. And that, of course, interacts with the affordability that you were just talking about. In particular to Queens is the massive special Flushing waterfront district. The city has planned for Flushing Creek, controversial. What are your thoughts on that and any other large projects across the borough that you may want to have an impact on going forward or not going forward?
Well, the bottom line is show me your budget and you'll show me your priorities, and the city needs to really come in. HPD, and I'm also, Brian, just so you know, the former chairman of the Zoning and Franchises Committee, so I have, you know, some expertise in housing, and also understand that, yes, it's not going to always be popular to do rezonings and to create more density in neighborhoods, but the bottom line is if HPD is not coming in and saying we're going to subsidize these projects on top of what mandatory inclusionary housing is doing, then you're just spinning your wheels. So something like the Flushing Special Waterfront District is something I hope that as Eric Adams comes in, because I believe this project will come in under him as well, he'll have some say-so here as well. HPD needs to put subsidy in. You have a huge opportunity with Sunnyside Yards, right? I mean, we could build thousands upon thousands of affordable housing units, create a transportation connector, build schools, because it's not just about housing. It's about the wraparound services there. And then, you know, another tool that I've been exploring, and I actually passed legislation in the council, which enabled HPD to recognize community land trust. So Edgemere and the Rockaways is going to be one of the first places right now, and HPD has put out an RFEI for organizations that are interested in actually building out a community land trust in Queens, which I believe this will be the first one. But we have thousands upon thousands of units being built out in the Rockaways as we speak as well. So this is just a question of priorities. And, you know, we need HPD to fully subsidize these projects so that we can really build out truly affordable housing.
Let's get one more caller in here before we run out of time. Kemi in Bayside calling about a park in Jamaica. Kemi, you're on WNYC with Borough President.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about the Texas Keith L. Williams Park. I live in Bayside, but we go to church in Jamaica, Queens, and they have a soccer program. And so we use the Texas Keith L. Williams Park as a place where the kids practice soccer. And the park, the actual soccer turf and the track area, is always covered in tons and tons of trash. The garbage cans are always overflowing. We found, like,
and you know what? I'm gonna have to jump in because the connection is so bad. I don't think the listeners can understand you. But according to my screener, Borough President, she's asking about Williams Park. She says trash. She says needles. She says people riding motorcycles across, all while kids are trying to practice soccer.
Wow. So that is news to us. I will certainly follow up. And you should also know that working with Councilmember Idenique Miller, I believe we have like a $20 million investment going into that park to redo the entire park. And I want to thank him for his leadership on that. And obviously, we kicked in a few dollars from the borough president's office as well. But I will ensure we follow up on this quality of life issue right away.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it for now. Assuming you're reelected, we look forward to having you on many times over the next 4 years. We sometimes, as you know, we put borough presidents together on the show and have sort of an inter-borough dialogue, and we do all kinds of other things. So thank you for coming on today.
I'm going to be the senior member, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. Because everybody else is term limited.
Everybody else is gone, I know.
And you'll have been on the job for 6 months.
Exactly.
Because of that special election. All right. Well, we look forward to whatever comes next. Donovan Richards, the currently 6 months in office borough president of Queens after December's special election, now running for a full term. Thank you so much for coming on with us again today.
Always great to be on with you, Brian. Take care.